Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the EFES Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thanks for joining us again for another episode of the EFES Nation Podcast. This is episode number 32. Goodness gracious, already to 32. We're bringing back our buddy who was on just a few episodes before with us, Jeremy Johnson. Virtual Medicare, final expense, annuities, you name it. He's an extraordinaire in all things insurance. So I'm excited to have JJ on with us. JJ, appreciate you jumping on with us today, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Yep. And so, audience, if you missed the episode where we had JJ on before, you're going to get a very humble approach to this. But let me go ahead and just prop this guy up a little bit for you. Stud producer, heck of a leader, agency owner, just one of the absolute best in the business. Specialty for 17, 18 plus years has been on the virtual side. So I guess you could say he's kind of a pioneer. He was kind of heading things up, doing it before it became cool. Excited to have JJ on with us today. We're going to go right into the conversation. And today I want to talk about, with today being September 20th, AEP is around the corner. We're going to talk about Medicare. We're going to talk about life, hopefully all things in between. But I want to start today off, JJ. A lot of people sitting there today thinking, man, I just got into this Medicare thing. I want to make it a big success, this upcoming AEP. So let's just kick it off with any words of encouragement, any insight. What would you tell somebody on how to have a successful AEP?
So a couple of different things. I mean, obviously, if you're new to the business, you don't necessarily have, you know, that customer, you know, customer base that many of you may have that have been in the business for a while. But, you know, being new to the business, a couple of things to really expect is, number one, I can tell you from personal experience, and I think with this AEP, you got about 46 days, working days if you're not working, you know, Sundays, except for the last one. But, you know, really getting yourself in the right headspace. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, this is the best time of the year to maximize your overall production. I mean, I have big goals for myself personally. But you know, from a virtual perspective, or even if you're in the field, it doesn't really matter what it is. You know, this is really what we're waiting all year for, right? Because, you know, during AEP, the person just has to have Medicare parts A and B, and that's it. Rest of the year, you're kind of hunting for special election periods, and hoping whenever you talk to that person that they have one. But with AEP, these, you know, beneficiaries are kind of primed and ready. Knowing that they're getting inundated with all this stuff in the mail. I mean, they know what's coming. So I think, you know, to your question, your headspace really needs to be right. And by that, I mean, me personally, I'm probably going to be working 10 to 12 hour days every single day that I can. Probably won't work on Sundays until the last Sunday. But I would definitely, if I were you, commit, knowing that business ramps up even more so the last 7 days of AEP. I would most certainly be working those last 7 days, which would include Saturday and Sunday.
It's absolute grind time whenever this time of the year rolls around for the agents that are involved in Medicare, no doubt. One of the things that I've seen over the years is people kind of try and dip their toe in the water a little bit during AEP, and they don't really understand what jumping headfirst in is. And you just said it. You just hit the nail on the head. It's going to be some long days. Even as an entrepreneur and independent business owner, you're going to have some long days. And the reason for it is you got to get it while the getting is good, and it's worth it. Like, that investment is worth it because of what's going to take place in January and February. Those earnings are going to come piling in. Now, from a strategy standpoint, you want to be busy top to bottom day after day. That's no doubt. But I also want to kind of circle back to something that's a theme on this podcast. As busy as you are, you're still taking care of the client in more ways than one. You're still doing the cross sell with them. JJ, is that something you do during AEP as well?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I think, you know, whenever you're talking about insurance in general, you know, kind of going back to, you know, some terminology that you use, you know, frequently, and that is, you know, the whole peanut butter and jelly approach. I mean, you're going to be talking to people every single day during AEP that, number one, you know, they qualify for Medicare, but hey, guess what? They also qualify for life insurance, and it's not vice versa because you're in Medicare season now, right? So I think it's important to make sure that you ask those questions. And I think a big part of what you have to understand whenever you're asking these questions is, even if you can't help these people right now, or they want to kind of put a hold on it in terms of when, you know, you talk to them about life insurance, you could even talk to them and set schedule appointments after AEP is over, after, you know, the awakening of the giant throughout the year has come to fruition, you know, which is December 8th. I think it's important to know that, you know, you also have the ability to talk people into cross-selling other products as well. You know, and in a previous life, you know, I was, you know, leading a call center, you know, which was a team specifically designed to cross-sell in itself, meaning I'm obviously changing their health insurance, but I'm also going to be looking at how do we fill the gaps? Well, we can do that with hospital indemnity so that they don't have to pay co-pays if they don't have a, you know, special needs plan. You know, maybe I want to sell them a cancer plan because with Medicare Advantage plans, chemotherapy falls under Part B drugs. That's 20% co-insurance, which means they're footing 20% of the bill up to their maximum out of pocket. That cancer plan would come in pretty nice, especially if their insurance doesn't cover the treatment that they need, because maybe it is, you know, a type of treatment that's not covered under Medicare, whatever it is, right? So you also have people that maybe they have plans in their area. They don't have great options for dental and vision with any of the plans. Well, you have some standalone dental plans that you can sell too. I mean, you know, life insurance is definitely something that you want to, you know, probably hit on first. But at the end of the day, it is an opportunity to cross sell and maximize your potential and move on to the next customer and sell them some Medicare Advantage plans.
And that's where I think a lot of just straight AEP Medicare agents go wrong. And I'm not chastising, I'm just throwing it out there. The one trick pony of just trying to get to Medicare and move on to the next one, Medicare and on to the next one, like stickiness with the client that we've talked about so many times on this call, it all comes and derives from the service level of helping them with more than one problem, helping them solve more than one problem. It seems like we have a systemic item in our industry that needs to be addressed, which is the one trick pony and going around the serving of that client. That's another topic for another day. Going to AEP, kind of do's and don'ts. And I'll put you on the spot here for those listening in. JJ and I didn't sit and do an hour-long prep on this. We just kind of jump in organically and let it flow. Talking about what it takes to be successful, but then also now kind of do's and don'ts. Things to stay away from during AEP. Don't get yourself in hot water. Make sure you're doing what's best for the client. Anything that you'd throw out on that note in terms of just do's and don'ts?
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you that whether you're in person or you are doing virtual sales, be cautious with people, whatever it comes to their cognitive behavior, or if they're seeming like a little off, or if they're asking you the same questions over and over again repetitively, and maybe they're not taking medication for dementia, but maybe they have it and you just don't know. I would be very wary about that. And the reason why I say that is because I've had experiences in the past where I've helped somebody out, you know, and that individual, they were making repetitive remarks. And then, you know, afterwards they ended up calling in with, you know, their, power of attorney that they never told me that they had, to the carrier to complain. And obviously that's a complaint post AEP. So I would be very careful, whenever it comes to, you know, how you're kind of analyzing that individual and take into consideration their behavior, whether it be on the phone or face to face. I think that's definitely, you know, a big one. I will tell you from a virtual perspective, you know, you may not be a call center, for example, because you're a virtual agent, right? You're working out of your home or out of your office. But there's a possibility, not saying it'll happen, but you could potentially get called by, you know, a secret shopper. Typically, that's going to be from call centers and things like that. You know, I won't rule it out because it's a possibility. But at the end of the day, make sure that you're just following the correct process whenever you're talking to these people. I know that AEP can get really crazy and really busy, and we may want to cut, you know, cut corners. You know, especially from a virtual perspective, you know, I would just say, you know, make sure that you learn your trade and that you are doing the same type of process over and over again. I'm sure this is the same in the field, so that it's ingrained in your mind so that you don't even think twice about cutting corners. Because of the rush during AEP, it can get very easy to pass over that just make sure that you're following the right process and being compliant. Because guess what? You're feeding a lot of apps in, which means your exposure could be a little bit higher. So just follow the process.
It's so good because it doesn't matter, like you said, to whether you're in the field or you're, you know, face-to-face, you're virtual, you're on the space station over by the moon. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it just comes down to doing what's best for the client. And when you're doing what's best for the client, it's hard to cut corners. So I love that. And that's something that I've seen with you and quite a few others that we work with just every day. It does. That's a non-negotiable. Like, I'm not going to have a bad day, which then gives me the excuse to, you know, cut a corner and do something that's sketchy. I love that. I love that. So do's and don'ts. That was a good nugget that you just dropped there for everybody. I want to go into on the same AEP topic. As we talk about kind of building that pipeline for post AEP, because we know what comes after AEP, we got OEP. Even though we do it 12 months out of the year at Equita, JJ, what's the recommendation of building that pipeline? What are you doing? Whether it's technology, whatever, like, how do you build that pipeline for after AEP is over to help more people?
So I will tell you that if you're doing virtual, definitely having some type of a CRM, if you can. You know, I know that we have, you know, something that we're able to use and even potentially in the near future kind of cascade that to other virtual agents. Quite frankly, it could even be something that you can use as a field agent. That way you have all of your business in one place. You can set up reminders. You know, it's helpful to really be able to have, you know, kind of like a CRM to help you manage that. But essentially, you know, whenever you're talking to these people, you know, you're going to have people that brush you off, that maybe you want to call back later during AEP. You don't want to forget about that. You want to maintain that. You want to put a calendar event. You want reminders. You know, even with, like I said, post AEP, guess what? There are still special election periods you can use between December 8th and December 31st outside of the fact that you can set appointments with these same customers post AEP. Heck, I mean, these are now your book of business. You wrote this person. You can call them after AEP and talk about, you know, other stuff with even, you know, not even necessarily having, you know, a meeting that you've agreed to, right? You know, or you can, even when you're on the phone with them or face-to-face, hey, do you mind if I give you a call after AEP is over just to try to touch base with you? You know, at that point in time, the brakes are on, you know, we're now in the cooling off period after AEP. So you're not being bombarded with calls. Mind if I just go ahead and check in on you, you know, and give you a call after AEP? Perfect opportunity to be able to call your entire book that you just wrote during AEP. Why not call every single one of them after AEP is over? Let's say you call them. They're like, oh, somebody switched me. So somebody, and I don't even know why they did that. I don't even know how it happened, but I wanted to be with you. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? It's a great thing that we're talking right now because I can schedule a time after the first of the year and we can go ahead and put you right back on that plan. Right. Perfect time to follow up for, like I said, hospital indemnity sale, you know, life insurance sale, most certainly. Right. You know, so that would be kind of, you know, my thought process is, number one, make sure you have some type of a system that you have in place to kind of help you maintain your book of business in terms of touching base with them. I would definitely probably have something that you integrate for follow-up, because post-sale journey is so important to keep these people on the books, especially during AEP when they're being blown up all over the place. If you're talking to them, guess what? I would say, what I tell every one of my customers, ma'am, as soon as we get off the phone, or maybe you do it when you're sitting in front of them face-to-face, can you go ahead and plug my phone number and my name in your phone so that if anybody else is calling from any unknown number, you don't have to answer it. But if I'm calling and I'm texting you, you know it's me. And that way you know to answer the phone or respond, right? Because this is going to help you maintain that relationship and also make sure that they're not answering any other phone calls unless your name's popping up on their phone.
I love it. I love that. And that kind of ties directly into what I wanted to go into next, was I wanted to get your opinion on material sent out, left with the clients. Now, for agents that are face-to-face, it's a little bit easier for guys like yourself to do it virtually. You have to send that out. And I've seen a lot of agents create paralysis by analysis instead of working on, I don't want to say things that are functional during AEP, because I understand this is important and it works for some, but there's a lot of guys that really spend a lot of time on like sit down cards and things like that. And they put way too much time into it, some of them. But how important is that to you, like send out cards or, you know, things that are going to let them know that you're their agent? I've seen you personally do exactly what you just said, which is, hey, plug me in your phone. Here's my personal number. You call me if you need anything. Like, your retention is phenomenal. Do you think that it's kind of overdone sometimes with the leave behinds and stuff like that? What are your thoughts on it?
So, what I will tell you is obviously making sure that they have your information, like I said, is important. One thing that I also have within the CRM that I have, which I think is a big deal. I mean, this is one of the things that I used to do in a call center space, is I created a process for post-sale journey, right? It's not just important what you're doing while you're in front of them or on the phone with them. What happens after the fact? Are they going to call you if one of their family members are like, oh, why did you do that? Are you sure that I don't think that's right? You need to call them and you need to cancel. Okay. Well, if they do that, there's a chance that they're probably going to call the carrier directly. Here's a way to kind of cut that off, right? So with the CRM that we use, you know, I was able to create a functionality to where it will send up auto text messages on certain times or days afterwards. So for example, maybe I want an auto text to go out 2 days after the fact. Maybe I want one to go out 2 weeks after, 1 month after the policy goes into effect, or maybe somebody tried to switch them up. That way there's constant connection and conversation with the customer, right? After you hit them, you know, for the 30-day marker, maybe you hit them every 60 days after that point with an auto texting function that you have within your CRM. Because guess what? I don't have to do anything whenever the auto text goes out, but if they respond, I see it, and then I can reply to it. But I don't have to be worried and thinking constantly about, you know, sending this out or doing this or doing that. I would say one of the best things you could possibly do, knowing that time is money, and once you lose your time, you can't get it back, is automate things. So any type of automation you can plug into, I would highly advise.
I love that. And around that is compliance. And I know you are ultra compliant in everything that you do. I've learned quite a bit about you from the virtual space, virtual side of it, on how to be compliant. And you're always ever learning there, so because it's the market's always ever evolving. You know, for agents out there that don't have, you know, if you don't have like a big conglomerate compliance team, you're not part of a big organization, there are some resources that you can use that I'll just throw out there to you now. I have no affiliation to them, but I've seen them before. You know, you can get a complete overview of compliance guidelines. And I would urge you to stay away from social media, though there are some trusted individuals out there that post really good stuff. I won't name drop any of them because I don't want to plug them, but Justin Brock's one of them. He's been on the podcast, so I'll name drop him. Bobby Bache, Medicare Bob. But there's some really good people out there that drop really good content that you can find this information on. But at the same time, there's like, you know, other resources like Compliance Hub is another place that tries to stay up to speed and up to date on things. Once again, I have no affiliation with them, but compliance is super, super important. Don't get yourself in a position where you're going to work so hard to build a book of business and then you lose it. So I love the automation mentioned there as well. Whether you are virtual or you're face-to-face, that book of business that you work so hard to build, you need to be able to have a good CRM in place so that you can go back and work it and serve them better, see if there's a better need, whether it's this next year or the following year. But you're going to be able to do that a lot more effectively if you have automations built into your business. I'm not saying you got to go drop 50 grand on a go high level platform that's intricate, but there's certain things you can do, to JJ's point, that are big. And they can be very, very effective and help your business. And as you mentioned, JJ, time is money. And if you're wasting time, you're wasting opportunity to make money. So as we look to break today, I know we were going to do a little bit of a quick hit, kind of a quick podcast coming to everybody today. I'll give you kind of last dibs here to throw a final shot out to everybody in the audience listening in.
Yeah, no, guys, you know, we really appreciate every single one of you guys. I mean, you know, as the boat rises, we all rise, right? So I think, you know, one thing that I really love about, you know, this organization and the leadership is it kind of falls in line with my mentality of things. And that is, you know, to be a true leader, you have to be a servant. You have to be able to serve people, right? And that's one thing that I really love about this community here is you have so many leaders that want to serve people. You know, we have the, you know, the agent supporter, the agent hotline. I mean, you've got, you know, people like Chase that are constantly looking for opportunities to be able to help people that that kind of come under the umbrella, you know, of Equita. And so, you know, the fact that there's just such a good mentality and approach and team effort, I mean, I'm definitely glad that I became, you know, a partner with, you know, with Equita, with Chase, which I've known him for years and known he's a great guy. But definitely excited to see more and hear more of you. Love hearing and seeing everything on the band. I'm hoping that the band chat is just going off constantly every single second during AEP. I'm so excited about that. And really excited to see where we land after AEP in terms of overall numbers. So thank y'all.
Yeah, you have to be charging your phone during AEP because the iPhone battery is going to be zapped after all the dings that are going to be taking place. So we appreciate you, JJ, your leadership as well. Just fired up to grow this thing with you, and we'll do it again sooner than later.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the EFES podcast. For more, visit EFESnation.com and subscribe to the podcast catalog on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.